Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Zero Lux. Let the intro begin.
We are the main ghost hunters.
How many people are here?
Life can be touched on finding that. Are you happy, Leah?
Who's that?
He's a little old man.
Someone here? Hello?
It's a definite feeling to be warm.
Are you touching the girl's hand?
Whoa.
How long have you been here?
Do you stay here in this house?
It's not like you'll talk that well. Are you able to calm down here?
What was that?
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Maine Ghost Hunters Presents Zero Lux Radio. Tonight is Wednesday, January 30th, and we are continuing our paranormal fraud series. And you know, every time I say that, it just amazes me how much content we have for this topic. I have Kat with me tonight. Kat, are you there?
I am. I'm here. I'm ready.
I mean, doesn't that just amaze you? I mean, the shows that we continue to be able to produce and air regarding paranormal fraud, and mostly regarding two specific people in the New England community.
In the New England community, yes. I want to make sure that people are fully hearing the New England community. And like you said, we have so much content, and the reason, one of the top reasons is something that we talked about last night. It's that these people will, commit fraud on one bunch of people, and then they'll just reinvent themselves somewhere else, and they'll do it again. And they're just really good at taking people for whatever they're worth, and then moving on to a different bunch of people, and then claiming that they're victims. They're being picked on. They're being bullied. How dare they? Let's do parent unity. That's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a huge one.
And I was just listening to something the other, it was just the other day, and I was reading something on Facebook the other day about a bunch of groups that were talking about it, and they said, it's something that was started out good, which is the way most things do. They start off with really good intentions, and then they wind up being used by all the wrong people. And pair unity is one of those things. It's one of those concepts where people who are doing bad things to good people are hiding behind this shield of the term para-unity. Don't you dare pick on me or my friends because we are putting up this front of para-unity. How dare you?
Yep, you're absolutely right. And the people who, and they garner support through that effort as well, because we've had confrontations from people who are like, how dare you attack these people, because all we don't, you're gonna ruin our weekend. We just want to have a good weekend. I don't care what they did.
Oh my god, Tony, don't even get me started on that. I was I fielded one particular email from somebody who was going to go to a para-unity conference up here in New England, and I was just like, Are you serious? Are you serious with this right now? Really? Because I hold no loyalty to the success of your event. If you're going to do it, with someone at the helm who is the epitome of all things that you do not want in paranormal, I'm telling you what they've done, and you're telling me don't ruin my weekend. I'm telling you they have ruined people's lives, and you're telling me don't ruin your weekend? Are you kidding me?
I know.
You are what's wrong with paranormal.
And what's funny is that person who was so adamant about their position of don't ruin, first of all, don't say these negativity things about other people in paranormal, and don't ruin our paranormal unity weekend, has actually turned around and realized that, hey, this person is not exactly the best person for us to be associating with.
Yeah, Exactly. You know, through their own experiences, they have experienced, you know, through their own experiences after that email and after that weekend, they themselves experienced kind of what we were talking about. I mean, not, you know, we were talking about someone else, but, you know, they were buddied right up with someone who was standing up there saying Para Unity, and it turned out that, you know, they're not that group that you want to aspire to be. They're just somebody you do not want to aspire to be. Therefore, Para Unity with those people, not in the books. And that's what they realized. That's what they experienced. And I'm not even wasting my breath saying I told you so, because I told them before they even went to that Para Unity conference. It's not personal to the people who are going for Para Unity. I don't care. You want to call Para Unity, go ahead. Go ahead. You know, wave the Para Unity flag. I don't care. But if you do something specific that really offends someone to the point where you bring havoc to someone's life, someone's family, someone's, you know, well-being, emotional, spiritual, physical, you know, or you put them in a risky situation and you're in paranormal, I definitely have a specific issue with you as a specific person or specific group. And it goes right back to what you were saying at the beginning. It is amazing how many of these shows we can do just on, especially just on two specific groups in this area. We've done shows on plenty of other groups, plenty of other people, plenty of other experiences with other groups. But these two groups and these two group leaders, we have people coming in from all over just about these two people, right?
We do, and, you know, more people contact us all the time, and we have even more content to come. So it's going to be interesting. You know, what amazes me, though, not only do we have all of this content, but this person is still out there.
Oh, yeah, they're still out there. They're the victim. You know, people who are doing, we're doing shows about it and close to being posted about them, Tony, they're the victim, right? They're getting bullied.
Yeah, they're getting bullied. We've been doing this series for a pretty long time, and we have many shows and many first-hand accounts of this person's inappropriate behavior, you know, fraudulent behavior, just all kinds of stuff, and nobody cares. She's still there. She's still doing it.
I don't know. People definitely care. That's the thing. I don't want anyone thinking that people don't care. Don't say no one cares, because people definitely care. Otherwise, we would not have as many people coming forward as we do. And they're not vindictive people who are looking to get back at someone. They are people, literally, you can listen to it, you can hear it in all the interviews. You can hear them. They're not vindictive. They're like, holy crap, I experienced this. I don't know where this came from, and people need to know.
Right.
Because they're not like, oh, I hate them, they kicked me out. But no, they left and were like, you need to know what's going on in there. You don't know what's going on in there. I mean, right before we started the show, did I not have four webpages up doing research on something that someone told us, and I was beside myself. I didn't know what to say when I found my answer. I just kept finding the same answer over and over again. Was I not?
Oh, yeah, and that'll be the topic of one of our other shows that we'll be doing soon. And it's something that we've warned people about. We told people she is going to be doing this, and she did this.
Yep.
So when these people suffer the consequences because of what she did, then they'll be sorry that they didn't listen.
I know, you know, and I don't, you know, it's like people that don't know any better, and then there's people associated with her who do know better. And the thing is, you know, and I don't really, you know, I don't fault them personally. On a certain level, I don't fault them personally, but I just know that if they have half the character that they say they do, and they should, you know, just being leaders, but they're gonna feel a certain amount of guilt for not listening, first of all, but being a part of something that isn't what they think it is. You know, and helping somebody who isn't who they think this person is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyone who has any type of, like, moral core who is a true leader is going to naturally feel some sort of responsibility and guilt, right?
Yeah.
So, that's all that I'm trying. I mean, I'm trying to get that out there because I don't give a crap about her. I don't care about her successes. I don't care about her failure. I don't care about her. I really don't. I don't even focus on her. What I focus on are the people that she and her group they're bringing negativity to. They're bringing badness. They're bringing things you do not want brought into your family's house. Don't help them bring it to someone else's family.
That's right.
That's all these shows are about for me. I don't, you know, it's nothing personal. I don't, like I said, I have no emotional attachment to her successes or her failures. I don't care. I got over that, you know, a while back. But right now, you know, we've got the fallout of all these people coming forward and they're saying, you will not believe what happened. And I'm like, you would be surprised that I would believe.
Yeah, and the lack of surprise that we have to find out that it did happen.
Exactly. I mean, to us, it's just run of the mill, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is sad. So, yeah, so we have a really good interview tonight, and it's with someone from CJ's group again, which is really interesting because CJ has been a very big supporter of something that he put out there, a concept he put out there. It's called para-disunity. And it sounds negative, but it's not. It's about, rephrase it and call it responsible paranormal unity. Responsible paranormal unity. Because what that says is not everyone should be in paranormal. Right?
Right.
So it's just, you know, and I always compare it to having a plumber in your house, having an electrician in your house, having a sheetrocker in your house. There are boards that govern whether those guys can have their licenses. You can't, I mean, they don't let people who have, like, long-time criminal histories of, you know, breaking and entering and stealing and, you know, fraud and sexual assault and all that, I hope they don't let those types of people in your house. Maybe they do. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But,
I think there are specific requirements that they have to meet before they can get those licensings.
Right, and they have to get the licenses, and they have to, you know, keep the licenses, and you have to be able to be some sort of upstanding citizen to do certain types of jobs. And paranormal has no board, you know, overseers, no licensing, nothing. So all you have to do is, like the show we did last night, is be a really good poser. You could be a guy who's a dishwasher who lost his license 18 or 20 years ago, won't ever tell anybody why, got fired from his security job, right? But at these events is, you know, king of the hill, in charge of security. It's like this guy he's got nothing going for him, and he's bringing damage to people's lives, and he's a paris, you know, he's on his way to paracelebrity. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. So para-disunity is about responsible paranormal unity. It's about admitting to ourselves that not everyone deserves to be here. It's not how they do things in paranormal. It's how they do things with their lives. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you got a fraud conviction. You got a bunch of fraud convictions. You've been in jail for the last 10 months. You probably shouldn't be in paranormal because that means you're going inside of people's houses. I mean, doesn't it? You're laughing because it makes sense, right?
Right.
That people hide behind paranormal unity because, gosh darn it, don't you dare bully anybody in paranormal. It's like, it's not bullying, it's common sense. Can we stand up for common sense for a second? God. So, yeah, so these talks, you know, these two teams that just keep making a recurrent appearance here.
And they're also, so those two teams are continuing to make a recurring appearance, but the members that are coming forward and, the abundance of members that are affiliated with Enemy is not quite so surprising either because, these are people that are in New England, so they are concerned about their local community. So.
Exactly. It's that CJ is a really strong networker, as we've discussed already on at least one previous show. He's just a really nice guy, you know, and people, you know, they get along with him really well. You know, we get along with him very well, and they're kind of attracted to his group. And, I mean, he's also in Massachusetts, in the area of Massachusetts where, like, up here in Maine, you'd have to go quite a ways to get to us. But he's kind of, like, in the center of things, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So he can get people from New Hampshire and Maine and Massachusetts and Rhode Island. I mean, there, you know, like he could really get like a web of people to be associated with enemy. Whereas Maine, you'd have to go pretty much wherever you are. You have to go north to get to us, right? So
that's right.
So it kind of explains why he has quite a reach with different people from different areas, which is really good because you know he's keeping an eye out. And that's responsibility. That's taking a responsible approach. You know, we're doing these shows, and right, Tony? We're doing these shows, and I consider that to be responsible because there aren't that many people out there who are bold enough to do what we're doing. And, you know, I'm not breaking my arm, patting my own back. I'm just saying that more people should be doing this. And he's out there networking with people and finding out what the heck's going on in his community, and that's just as responsible. I mean, I feel that that's just as responsible. It's people, you know, it's proactive.
Yep. All right, well, without any further ado, let's kick off the interview. And again, this is a pre-recorded interview that we have done some time ago, but it was live, and this is the raw responses from Chad Ashworth to our questions regarding paranormal fraud. So let's kick back and listen, and Kat and I will be back on the line as soon as it's over and have some comments of our own in review. And it looks like we have John on the line now too. So
awesome.
Once we get done with this recording, we'll have John back on too. I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and maybe your involvement to the extent that it is in paranormal.
My name is Chad Ashworth. Really, by trade, I'm a graphic designer. CJ is my wife's cousin, and we kind of hooked up because we have that same interest in the paranormal. We've gone on a few investigations together. I can't really say that I'm very experienced or anything like that. I'm definitely a newbie at it. I really only gone on maybe a couple of investigations and really haven't gotten anything that I can say is definitively paranormal.
Right. So you've gone on investigations with CJ?
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I know we've done a jail up in New Hampshire there about a year or so ago, and recently a few months back we had a investigation there locally to him in Lowell, which kind of turned out to be a bust, but
yeah, that happened.
You know, what are you gonna do?
Exactly.
But that's really the extent of my experience as far as the paranormal stuff goes. You know, it's mainly through CJ.
Yeah.
And I've done some logo design stuff for CJ and some other things for him and his team, and through that, other teams that he had been involved with saw the work and had approached me to do some, you know, some design work for them as well. So I said sure, you know. And the particular one that we're talking about did a logo design for and we agreed at the beginning of it that there would be a payment. So I went ahead and did it, and I sent it to her, and she had said that she would send me a check. So a couple weeks would go by, and I get in touch with her again and ask her, you know, where's the check? And she said, well, you know, she had an excuse, you know, I ran into some problems or whatever financially. So I said, okay, you know, gave her a few more weeks, got back in touch with her again, said, you know, what's going on? Again, I got another line of excuses. So I finally just basically said to her, you know, I'll tell you what, you can keep the logo and as so long as you just give me credit for it on your website.
Okay.
So she agreed to do that, and I guess she's listed me on her website as far as that goes. But the whole thing that pissed me off about it was that, like, you know, this is my job. I have to do it for my, you know, I have to make a living too.
Right.
And, you know, I got the runaround. I mean, we settled it, you know what I mean? But still, at the same time, it kind of left, you know, it still left a sour taste in my mouth just because of the fact that, like, I was told one thing and then given the runaround.
Right.
I kind of basically knew from that point that I was never going to see a dime from it. So I just, you know, just give me credit for it on your website and I'll be done with it and whatever.
Yeah.
So, she doesn't have the master files for any of the stuff, so she really is limited as to what she can do with it. So,
I
know CJ's had some serious issues with them. And
yeah.
I'm kind of like there, but I'm kind of on the outside of it too. You know what I mean? Like I hear about it, but I don't see the point of why like we should get that involved in, you know, debating this whole parent unity thing. It's like you've got your thing, you do your thing, we'll stick to do what we do, and just, you know, that's my approach to it. You know what I mean? I'm all, you know, I like the fact that CJ kind of came out and spoke his mind on it. I like the fact that he's taking that stance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, done what you've done. That's good. That's great. You know, then you just get back to what we need, what the real focus should be. And their bullshit will eventually surface and people will eventually learn it. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we're doing with is goes beyond the paranormal unity issue that CJ has with the other members in the area or online with the paranormal community. So do you know much about other than your experience with her?
I've only met her the one time that we did the jail investigation, like I had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Back at that point, I think CJ and I were really green in the field, if you will.
Yeah.
So I know CJ was really just taking everybody for their word.
Right.
So with that, I was just kind of going along for the ride too. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
She seemed like a pretty cool person. You know, I didn't have any, personal issue with her at all. It did raise some eyebrows as to how she conducted herself on that investigation.
Mm-hmm. So other people were discussing her behavior or how she conducted herself while she was there on the investigation.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So that's about the fifth time we've heard that in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
So let me you may want to take a listen to some of our other radio shows and so you can learn a little more about and understand why we as Maine Ghost Hunters are so diligent about getting the word out about her. We've had in the past week alone, we've had two other paranormal investigation teams on our show to talk about her, basically how she conducts herself on investigations and the lack of respect she has for client locations to the point where she's either stealing things from the location or breaking things while she's there. Yeah, and not taking ownership of those actions. And she spent the night at another location that's a very high-profile location where they allow the teams to go in and spend the night and be all left alone. And she broke an antique lamp, stuck it in a box, stuck it in the closet. And then when they left the location, they left trash all over the place, dirty dishes in their sink, and just a mess for this person to have to clean up when he was coming right back to the location to bring in some paid patrons to stay at that location. So, yeah. She has a very long. I know CJ has been in trouble with the law. We're not trying to, you know, we're not trying to slam her for having has.
I've heard that all. That she has a
very
quite a rap sheet. I know,
yes.
CJ does, but I mean, CJ is forthcoming with it too. You know what I mean? He's
exactly.
Gonna,
and
he
CJ
try to hide it. He knows, you know.
Yeah.
He
and he's also
get himself back on. You know.
Yeah, sorry, I keep talking over you there. Yeah, CJ has done a great job. I mean, he's brought himself out from, you know, where he was in that time, and he's changed his behavior. The difference here is here's a person that has a criminal behavior right up through to current day, and she has an outstanding warrant for her arrest in the state of Ohio.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so she's just, her behaviors aren't changing. She's,
right,
she's
right.
Still the same person she was before. That's the problem.
Not being honest with who she is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Puts a black eye on, you know, all the people that are trying to, you know, make a good name for themselves in this field and, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that one location I just mentioned where, you know, the antique lab was broken and the mess was left behind, he actually had to completely change the way he schedules people to come in and out of that location and no longer allows people to come in just for a small fee. He has to charge a very large deposit in order for people to be, have access to the location. And also it requires that one of his employees or close acquaintances is on the location on site while there's any other team there. So she's ruined it for other teams.
Right, right. Absolutely.
It's not just
me apparently that's giving, you know, a bad name to paranormal. People there, you know, it's people like I don't know if I should mention names or not, but you know, from what I understand, that there are certain teams located in New Hampshire and whatever have you that have been posting falsified images and stuff like that on their website, claiming that, you know, the stuff is real, and it's proven time and time again that it's not.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that people will behave this way, because, like you said, it does put a bad name out there and leaves a bad taste in the mouth of the community where these people go into.
Right.
Now, how did you get in touch with again for doing the logo? I don't remember if we touched on that.
I don't remember if it was from me having a conversation with her when we did the jail investigation, or if it was from her seeing the stuff that I did for CJ, for Enemy.
Yeah.
It was one or the other. I'm pretty sure it was from her seeing the stuff that I did for CJ and for where I did their logo as well. So I think it was through those two teams that, you know, she saw it and she approached me about it and asked if I'd want to do it, because she was looking for someone to help her revamp her existing logo. So I, you know, volunteered to give it a shot, and what I gave her she liked, and
yeah,
you know, we agreed that there would be a money exchange, and never happened. So,
right.
But I mean, we settled it out, and you know.
Yeah, but she didn't really have any choice because she wasn't going to pay you anyway.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So
I just did a search on.
What's that?
I just did a search on her website. I don't see you listed there anywhere.
I think my wife just checked it the other day, and CJ and I are listed. We don't have a photo or anything. I think we're listed I'm listed under like a New Hampshire team or something, which is false. But
she has you guys listed as.
I think she has us.
One of their branch teams.
I'm the Central New Hampshire ghost, but I'm not 100% sure. She definitely doesn't have us listed as enemy, because I don't think Chris ever agreed to be like under her umbrella.
All right. So you said that she wanted you to revamp her old logo. What was that other logo that she wanted to have revised or changed from?
It's that one that looks like the old Revolutionary Times, like the 1700s. Tombstones with the angel face with the wings coming off of it.
Okay.
I'm not really sure how to explain it, but she was looking for someone to like update that logo, so I took it and went a completely different direction with it, and she loved it, and she took it and is using it currently, as far as I know.
Yeah, so that's the one with the wings, with the like a girl or something, just holding something.
Yeah, with the angel sitting on the edge of the lettering there, and that's mine.
Now, do you remember when was it that she contacted you and asked you about doing that logo? What, like a date, a rough date?
Had to have been, definitely, probably right about, I'm not sure when we did the jailhouse investigation, but it was right around that same time.
And did she give you any reason why she wanted to change from that logo?
No, there was never any. Never anything said to me. The only thing she said was that she just wanted to revamp it, update it, you know, give it a new look or whatever.
And have you ever seen our logo?
What's that?
Have you ever seen our logo?
Main Ghost Hunters?
Yeah.
No.
I think you'd be surprised if you did. Because she used to be a part of Main Ghost Hunters at one point in time for a very short period of time, until we found out who she really was. And then she went off and basically stole our logo, which was the one that you replaced. So.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That would make sense now.
ours was much classier looking than the one that she came up with, but we had a member of our team who does what you do. He's a graphic artist. He works with marketing teams. for major national corporations putting together marketing materials, and he did our logo for our website and for our new website and for our T-shirts and stuff like that. So, but she had this whole song and dance about why she had that logo that was so closely resembling ours, about it being something with her long lost dead family member or something. I don't even remember. So, now do you want to talk a little bit about, can you talk a little bit about how much you, what the payment arrangement was that you had with her, as far as how much she's going to pay you for the?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the exact amount. I do know that, like, you know, you typically charge between like $200 to $300 depending upon, you know, how detailed and how, you know, complicated the design can be. And usually, you know, you're running about $200 to $300 for a logo design.
Right.
And I think I said to her it was like maybe $100, $150, you know, because I know that everybody that's in this field is like non-profit. Nobody should be making profit.
Right.
So I figured, you know, everybody's kind of on a low budget. Nobody's got a lot of money to, like, especially considering the fact that you're not making any profit, so it's hard to put, you know, everybody's putting their own money into it.
Right.
To fund it. So I figured I'd cut her a break and say, you know, well, just give me $100, $150.
Okay.
And she agreed to that. And, yeah, never saw it. So.
And how many times did you contact her afterwards about the, you know, hey, where's my payment?
I'd say probably easily about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I had sent her an email asking what was going on. And each time her response back was, I just bought a house and there's all kinds of trouble with it, was one excuse, that it was something about her husband, it was another thing, and something about not having, you know, enough money because of having to pay out all this money to, you know, how some places like charge to do investigations.
Yeah.
She had money tied up in that or something. She was waiting for payment from members of her club to pay her back or something. It was a bunch of different excuses each time.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I was like, it's not worth my aggravation trying to chase down $100 when I know I'm not
right.
going to see it. So.
Yeah. You know, I don't blame you there. So when you first met her, can you talk a little bit about how she presented herself to you when you first met her? You said that you know, she seemed pleasant and.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't pick up any kind of, like, I didn't sense anything that was off with her or anything like that. I took her for what she said or what she, you know, she acted normal to me. She didn't seem sketchy at all to me, you know.
Yeah.
And she seemed to be pretty honest with who she was. I mean, I didn't sense anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I only spent face to face with her. I only spent maybe an hour, and that was with a group of like 500 other people, it seems. So
yeah,
you know, I never really got to know her personally. So,
mm-hmm. But your interactions with her were good at first.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I didn't have any issue with her, you know.
Now, how long between the time when you finished the logo for her and, you know, said, hey, I'm ready to be paid now, how long did it take before you, I know you said 3 or 4 times you contacted her, but what was the period of time, you know, the lapse of time when you finally just said, I'm done with this?
Well, I designed the logo for her. I sent it to her, asked her what she thought of it, if she wanted to make any changes. She said, no, I love it. She said, okay, cool. You know, and about a month or so went by, so I contacted her. I said, well, you know, we agreed on the price. So her response back was, you know, okay, you know, I understand things have been crazy. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I waited about another month or so, got back in touch with her, same song and dance. Just, you know, another few weeks went by and I was, well, what's going on? And, you know, said, well, you know what? I understand. I'm having financial trouble myself because I had just gotten laid off. So why don't we just do this? Why don't you just give me, you know, a credit on your website for designing the logo? If somebody asks you who designed your logo, just drop my name. You know, maybe I can make a little, you know, maybe I can make some business off of it, you know, and kind of gain back, you know, my time and effort.
Yeah.
And she agreed to that, and she did post it online, so, yeah.
Now, are you a freelancer, or do you have your own business, or you work for somebody else, or?
I am currently unemployed. The freelance thing is tough because I have 3 young kids.
Yeah.
So it's tough to make a living when you don't know when the next check is coming, you know, especially when you're dealing with people that don't pay you.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
I'm just curious if you would be aware at all if you received any referrals from her advertising you being the graphic artist for her logo at all.
None.
None. Okay.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, well, you know, such is life.
Yeah. So you're a member of NME now.
I've been with CJ from the very beginning.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I've had an interest in the paranormal. I'm not as hardcore as CJ.
Yeah.
CJ is like, you know, all about it.
Yeah.
I don't devote nearly 1/10 the amount of effort into it that CJ does.
Yeah.
I'm more like, I'm interested in it. Like, I want so badly to see something or to have, you know, to have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what, you know, keeps me interested in is, you know, the fact that I haven't had that happen yet.
Right.
You know.
So, in your time as, you know, in the time that you've been able to practice your, you know, your desire to be a paranormal investigator or your interest in paranormal investigating, have you had any other negative experiences with other teams or locations or events?
No. Everybody, like I said, like, with the jail thing, I really met a whole bunch of people because a lot of teams showed up there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you guys were up there or not for that.
I don't think so.
Like
I'm not
everybody
sure.
In the area was there for this thing. So.
What was the event?
I can't remember what the name of the jail was, but it's like, it's just north of Concord, New Hampshire. And across the street was like a nursing home and a schoolhouse.
Hmm.
And I guess the nursing home was really active, and I guess the schoolhouse was really active, so they decided to check the jail.
Who would you know who was sponsoring the event? Who was putting the event on?
I don't, because there were so many teams and we were so new to everything.
Yeah.
That we hooked up with, who was, I guess, under. So it was through those two teams that we got invited to go along. So we went along and it turned out to be like a bunch of people there. So we got to talking to a few people. I had a really great experience up there. It was good.
Yeah.
Didn't get any definitive evidence that I can speak of. But the people that we spoke to and the people that we were around were really cool, really
yeah.
inviting, really, you know, willing to share stories and, you know, can't really say that I had any, you know, nothing negative about any of it.
All right, good. Well, I appreciate you coming on the air, Chad, and I appreciate you, you know, jumping in and, you know, sharing your experience. We definitely, like I said, are all about trying to make sure people are protected, not just us, but people like you who are trying to get into the paranormal, clients who are out there who don't know, you know, who it is that's coming into their home and what that, you know, may result in, and things like that. So we're just trying to, like I said, make sure everybody's protected. So I guess I'll let you go for now, and I'm going to just jump on the line with CJ for a little bit and chat with him.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for talking with me.
All right, you have a great night. Hey, CJ, you there?
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
All right.
I'm here. You did good.
Yeah, he did really good. So, yeah, that'll be very useful. Like I said, that's kind of her, that's what she does. I mean, she'll either write you a bad check or she'll not pay you.
Yeah, I mean, just listening, and it was like, you know, I was thinking of all the stories that you and Kat, you know, that I've heard from all you guys, and like, sounded like all the exact same crap that you guys said she was saying.
Exactly.
And the story hasn't changed, huh?
No, not a bit. So, I mean, she's in the middle of a divorce, or her husband's, I don't know, whatever. Or she's just bought a house.
Yeah, whatever. It's always somebody else.
Yeah, nothing's ever her fault. She's always a victim.
Mm.
Always been. She's,
I know,
always,
right? It must be horrible.
I know.
To be victimized so often and steadily. Give me a break.
And unfortunately, right. She bounces around from different people to different people, so there's never a common thread, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, and that's that kind of aloofness and, you know, almost gypsy-like behavior of being a nomad and constantly moving, you know, might be a good indicator of the suspect activity, because you're obviously not going to, you can't stay in one area too long if you're racking up warrants and this and that. I mean, you got to be on the move.
Yep.
It fits the profile. It's just the profile.
Certainly does. All right. So, anything you want to add to the conversation from Chad? Or
I could clarify a couple of things. It was the old Merrimack County Jail up in Bosco, New Hampshire.
Okay.
Was where it was, and I think was the lead team on it. They were there, also Enemy, of course, and then
Okay. Had
come up. So there was about four teams, probably 20-25 people all together, plus, you know, like the two ex-COs that were there with us to kind of give us the tour and chaperone or whatever. But
okay.
It was definitely, you know, a situation where to be a young team and have the opportunity to go into, like, an old abandoned jail, like, of course, I was like, I had heard, you know, you guys' warnings for a while, and then I knew from Cat what sort of, you know, Wayne he was all about. But it was, just the opportunity to get in somewhere. I mean, I have no problem taking advantage of that because I knew I was dealing with a monster underneath. So, you know, it was just like an excuse to get my foot in the door, really, for that investigation.
Right. So,
I thought it was funny, too, you guys. You didn't realize that the logo similarity. I knew that had been how closely can you mimic you guys' logo? It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Talk about a blatant ripoff.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and did you ever see the post that she put up there about how she tried to explain away the logo and that
no,
it was...
No.
Yeah.
I heard you say something about it was like an old family member's headstone. Like, you and what, another 3 million people? I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
Not all grave markers are unique, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what she does. So, I mean, it's just it's funny to keep hearing the same stories over and over again about her behavior.
Why is nobody listening?
Exactly.
Well, I'm asking, like, you can call these people out and even to name names. I mean, even, you know, you try to be somewhat polite and maybe allude to certain people, but I mean, I've started just calling them by names too, and like, because people need to know. Me and Kat were talking the other day, and like she was saying too, it's like it's our duty to protect not only clients but the community in general. I mean, if you've got some nefarious scumbag, you know, I was thinking earlier, it's kind of like a sex offender. If they move to your neighborhood, they have to notify the county, the town, they have to come to your door and introduce yourself.
So
if you're like a scumbag, lying, thieving paranormal investigator, like, you can just kind of go about your business and nobody pays attention.
Yeah.
Like, research on both ends. Like, we got to, you know, research the client, you know, as much as the client needs to do some background on the team they're going to have in.
Yep. But
there's vigilance on both sides. I mean, it's necessary, and like you guys are saying, it's one thing. Like, you know, you can obviously thrive in the field as long as you're honest. I mean, like I say, I mean, my criminal record's right out there for everybody. My involvement in recovery, like, I have a group page on Facebook for paranormal investigators who are in recovery. So we have a place where, you know, if somebody's having a bad day, they can go to somebody who is, you know, can relate A to being an addict or an alcoholic, and B, the paranormal world. So, I mean, it's not a huge group, but it's a place where people have taken advantage to, like, you know, get some positive feedback and get some advice and stuff. So,
yep.
I mean, by just being honest, I mean, that's blazed the trail. And hell, since we talked last year, I mean, you know, I've done a ton more radio interviews. You know, we do what we can, and that's that. We don't trying to post garbage orb pick for a good game or a pat on the back, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
Other than that, it's another day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it has to be. Sometimes it's a bad day, you know?
Yeah, well, a bad day for the bad people, the way I look at it lately.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if you're out of bounds, like, you're going to be getting the penalty from now on. Like, I'm sick of dealing with it. I'm sick of these para-unity people have attacked, you know, our team. They've attacked my personal character, you know, and I know some of those comments came from or who, you know, claiming that we've never gone on any investigations, and I have a severe anger problem and blah, 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 and just completely attacking the integrity just over a 2-minute rant video.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's your unity right there, you know, different opinion. Attack.
Exactly.
Blood in the water, like a bunch of sharks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's just the way they are, and that's the way that those people operate. Is if they think that they're going to be exposed, then they turn around and attack and try and take the attention away from them.
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, that's a tactic that's as old as time. Divert the attention, point the finger somewhere else. Like, so So now we just, you know, I personally definitely have just been taking it to them lately, you know. I'm just, hey, I got no problem being like the paranormal asshole that just telling it how it is. Like, this is, and you guys have been doing the same thing for a lot longer than I have, too. And it's like you guys said before, like being the person in the crowded room yelling, like, hey, pay attention, like, and people still aren't, so they need to be reminded. Yeah, we're the villains, we're the bullies, we're the, you know, why? Because we refuse to accept your bunk evidence, you know, that you refuse to explain, or God forbid you question them about anything, because then you're a bully and you're trying to trash their team or something like that, and it's like, no, you just want to have, like, an open-minded debate. Like, if they were so united, you could agree to disagree, I think. You don't see a lot of that.
Right.
And a very eye-opening year for me since we last spoke, you know, like, I keep my eyes on everything, you know, just because we're not out in the field as much as some other teams, like, certainly doesn't mean we're not, you know, heavily invested in the paranormal and the future of the field, and I, you know, I'm trying to do what I can as one man to ensure that there is a future, because all these people keep messing around. I mean, it's given a bad name, and in a field that struggles for validity anyway, like, these people are effectively putting a gun to the head of it and pulling the trigger because no one's going to believe it.
You're absolutely right.
Like you said, that's a location that they messed up for everybody. That goes beyond them, you know, and that every other team coming that, you know, would have a chance for whatever location that was you were talking about is going to run into a stone wall because of that one bad experience from another team. It really is the one bad apple spoiling a bunch analogy to a team.
It is. That's exactly the point. And people, unfortunately, people don't see that. Not only people from the outside, well, people that are doing it don't care, but they're worried about their own experience, and that's all they care about.
Oh,
nothing else matters.
They can't see beyond the tip of their own nose. And that's where you see, like, the, that's just like the antithesis to the field, you know, especially this whole para-unity thing that everybody's so proud to wave, like, where's the unity in destroying a location for other teams? You know, isn't that wanting, you know, disrespect and not caring about the other, you know, any other team that might come along? You know, it's supposed to be, if we're all in this together, like, most people really don't act like it.
Very few act like it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit scary sometimes to look, you know. I mean, I'm pretty vigilant, you know, like Chad said, I'm a lot more gung-ho about it, you know, as the, you know, the paranormal guy on the team, you know, like, I mean, I pretty much live, breathe, and sleep it, you know, I'm constantly researching, I'm always online, you know, like, running the Twitter, running the Facebook, like, I just love to interact and discuss this stuff with people, but I'm also seeing what other people are doing, and a lot of it is just complete crap, it really is.
Yep, so how is your experiences with not just but anybody in general with the negativity in the paranormal? How has that changed the way you approach other teams or approach, you know, attending events and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because one of the things they actually people were, you know, trying to crap talk about us was the fact that we don't investigate often, you know, and like I say, like, family comes first. You know, like, Barry in New Hampshire, he's a firefighter. Like, his job is to save lives. Like, what's more important, like, getting out on an investigation or saving a family from a burning building? You know, like, everyone's got stuff going on. I mean, it's hard to put stuff together sometimes. But, you know, even last night I got a call from somebody here in Lowell who, you know, was having some activity over there, and to the point that the children are scared. And I was like, absolutely, I'm going to be taking a ride over there after we do this interview and just try to sit down, you know, not for a full investigation or anything, but just to kind of talk to the kids and get a feel for what's really up and try to, you know, see if I can give them a few tips, you know, on trying to be assertive and take charge, you know, see if the old, this is my house now, like, you know, you either like it or you leave type of thing, you know, will work for them, or if it needs to go to another level. It's like an evaluation, basically.
Yeah.
You know, tonight. But I mean, that for me, that's, you know, like, you know, personally, I just, you know, with so much going on, like, I'd rather just be available to answer the phone for, like, a normal citizen. You know, I don't really put too much time and effort to, like, you know, going out to these paid-for events or known locations, you know, which sure are awesome, and would I love to see them someday? Absolutely. But, you know, that's just not my priority. My priority isn't posting the best picture or getting like a New England Paranormal Award or anything like that. My priority is hopefully giving somebody a more restful night's sleep in their house. And if that makes me not a paranormal person, like some people say, like, whatever then. The responsibility is to help people.
Right, exactly. If your true interest is in the paranormal and what that, you know, what that, how that affects the community and the people around you, then that is your focus. It's helping people and making sure that people understand what's going on. Unfortunately, that's just not always the forefront on most people's minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, so many people seem to have lost track of that along the way. Like, everybody's striving, like I say, they want a good game from the rest of the community or something, and they want, they're making strides because they want the next show or something, and it's, the emphasis switched from being about actually helping people. If you have this interest and you have this, knowledge or whatnot, because you do put a lot of work into research and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to cover to be in the field, to kind of have a working knowledge of stuff when you're going out there. And, to waste that dedication, I mean, I just think with that, it's like that Spider-Man thing from the comic book. With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
And we are accountable, and that's why, I love what you guys do, because you're so active in the community. That I envy and aspire to that sort of thing when I see you guys posting about, like, team nights and stuff like that and all these meetups. Like, you guys are doing your part to try to show that, like, a paranormal team can be a functioning, productive, and, like, beneficial part of your community.
Exactly, yeah.
And not just some, like, glory-seeking, douchebag, basically. I mean, I don't know how that mindset works. I just really don't have it.
Yeah.
The whole video on YouTube thing, like, blew up so big and it got me so much attention. Like, I never anticipated that, and that certainly wasn't my goal going out there. I was kind of just fed up, a little salty at the moment. I was bored at work and 2 minutes in the cell phone, and then all of a sudden I've sparked this uproar in the whole paranormal community.
It's a touchy subject, though, and that's what it is. It's exactly like you said. People want to talk about paranormal unity. They want to disrespect people and talk negative about people who don't meet their little niche of what paranormal unity means to them.
Yep. Exactly.
And then when you start talking about it and bringing that to light, that's when they all get kind of starts having their hissy fits.
Oh, yeah. You talk about ruffling some feathers. It was quite crazy. I mean, the video got posted on a group page. What is it? I never even heard of them. Or something like that. They think they're like the Congress or something of the paranormal, so they have like a rep for each state or something. Some crap they got going on over there. But, some guy posted the video over there, and, this thing had like over 100 comments, and people were just, it's one thing if you want to disagree with the video, like, I completely respect your opinion, like, you don't have to agree with me, I can agree to disagree, but where, like, these people went and started, saying all that stuff about, like, oh, yeah, like, enemy doesn't even go on investigations, and CJ is just like a, got this gangbanger, like, anger problem mentality, coming from people that have never met me.
Right.
They're getting their information from, people I may have met once on an investigation, and I don't know how they investigate, but, like, I don't run my mouth and, like, tell the person I'm working with my entire life story. Like, you're supposed to be listening. You're supposed to be quiet. Like, you're supposed to just shut up and listen, and so I just don't understand how these people can have all this deep, meaningful insight into me after, like, perhaps a two-minute conversation in the course of, like, an eight-hour evening.
Right.
But they know me up and down.
Yeah, so they think.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, that was the other funny part, too, was, obviously the video, it's angry. It's my weird Boston accent comes out a lot more. I look and appear a lot more like thuggish, you know, so to speak. And, you know, these people were tearing me apart on that group page, and somebody, fortunately, that I know on there added me to the group, so I was able to see what was going on and actually defend myself. And, like, the pendulum swing from the moment I made my first comment, and they realized, like, oh, my God, this kid can actually, like, speak eloquently and has quite the grasp of the English language, because I'm not some some just angry dolt from Lowell. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm very well-read. I'm very well-versed. I'm very used to public speaking from being in recovery. Like, I really think they underestimated their enemy in this situation.
Yeah. So they added you to the group so you could defend yourself. How did they kick you out after you went in there?
Oh, yeah, I was blacklisted immediately after that. I think my last comment, the founder of the page or whatever had been like, yeah, we still need a rep for Massachusetts. And I was like, I'll take it. I was just kidding. You know, I couldn't resist throwing that little dig in there. But, yeah, I was blacklisted. And then even the people that had added me to the group that, you know, were being supportive of my side to begin with ended up turning on me after the fact, too, because they claimed that, like, the way I described how it went down as a pack of wolves attacking a wounded moose, you know, in the wild, they're like, that's not the way it happened, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, maybe you are just really a jerk. But, oh, woo-hoo. Like,
yeah.
I really lost a lot of sleep over it. And,
It's nice how they create that little group, or the group already existed. But it's nice how they go in there and they feel free to say whatever they want and not allow you to come in and defend yourself. And when you do, they kick you right back out so they can continue on with their antics.
Yeah, exactly. I was in there long enough for the duration to kind of, like, even the people that were the biggest naysayers towards the end were like, you know, actually, yeah, well, like, we'd love to go out in the field with you sometime, blah, blah, blah. Like, these people did a complete, you know, 180, and all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, like, CJ's awesome, he's not a dick anymore. And then but by the next morning, I think I was in that group for less than 12 hours altogether. Yeah, whatever, hey, it's pretty sad, really, if you're that unstable that, like I say, you know, I'm just a nobody, really, you know what I mean? Not to, like, down toss myself, but, like, I'm just Joe Schmo from Lowell, Massachusetts, with a little paranormal team, and if I can use a cell phone in 2 minutes to, like, stir up that much, you know, make you people feel that unstable about what you're doing, that you have to so venomously attack me for just stating my opinion, then they got bigger problems than I do, so.
Exactly, yeah.
So good luck to them.
Yeah. I completely agree. All right. Well, CJ, it's been great talking with you, and glad we could get you on the air tonight and get Chad on there, too, to talk about his experiences. We definitely need to get you back on. You know, we're going to air this as part of the show, too, but we definitely need to get you back on as a follow-up to our previous conversation with you. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd love to come in and talk with you all. It's always just a great time. It's like sitting down with old friends and rehashing the good old days and what's happening.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, that was Chad Ashworth. We're going to take a quick break and play a few commercials, and then we'll be back on the line. And we have Kath, who's going to join us for some conversation, and John, who's also going to jump in there and discuss, you know, what we talked about with Chad and our viewpoints on that and how it correlates to some of our other of our other interviews. So hold on just a few minutes while we play a couple of commercials, and we'll be back to chat some more.
Would you like to know what it's like to be a Maine ghost hunter? See us live and in action on our YouTube video channel located at www.youtube.com/MaineGhostHunters. Zero Lux Radio is brought to you by the Maine Ghost Hunters Media Team. Learn more about the team, this show, and how you can become a guest at www.maineghosthunters.org/media. Do you know of a haunted location Maine Ghost Hunters should visit, or someone who needs our help? Call the MGH Ghost phone at 207-504-6224. Or send email to MaineGhostHunters@MaineGhostHunters.org. Zero Lux Radio is always looking for new and interesting guests. If you'd like to suggest a guest or would like to be a guest yourself, contact Maine Ghost Hunters by phone at 207-504-6224 or send email to maineghosthunters@maineghosthunters.org. Got ghosts? Maybe we can help. Call the MGH Ghost phone at 207-504-6224 or send email to maineghosthunters@maineghosthunters.org.
All right, welcome back again to Maine Ghost Hunters Presents Zero Lux Radio. Again, tonight is Wednesday, January 30th, and we just finished our interview with Chad Ashworth. I'm going to bring Kat and John on the line and see if they have any feedback regarding the interview. So, Kat, are you there?
Yep, I'm here again.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Good. All right. So I think we have John here, too. So, John, are you there?
Hello, Kat. Hello, Tony. How you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So, again, had you heard that interview before, John?
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah, most of these interviews we did kind of privately just so we could pre-record them and then play them later on for the show. So, but anyway, so, yeah, that was Chad Ashworth, and I don't know at what point you came into the interview, John, because I just happened to look up and see you there at one point. But he had been involved with, you know, that very special team we hold dear to our hearts in New England. And had created a logo for them at one point in time, actually a logo that was to replace their imitation of our logo. And it was promised payment, and he never received that payment, and actually never even received credit for creating the logo.
John was there. John was there before the interview started. I think you mentioned that he was there.
Yeah, I was there for the whole interview, the recorded part of the interview. I came in just as you guys were talking about getting ready to start. And even though I never heard the interview, I do remember hearing all about the graphic designer that got gypped out of his money and the logo stolen. So I remember that blowing up on, unfortunately, one or two Facebook and people talking about it. So, yeah, another knock on the belt for her.
No, not from us.
So, right. So
No, not from us.
Wait, Tony, let him say that again. You didn't hear that from us, John, because I never told anybody.
No, I didn't hear that from you. It was plastered all over Facebook.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah.
I just wanted
to make that clear that we hadn't told anybody, and it's already, I mean, it was out there among other circles, and, I mean, it didn't originate from us. We did not instigate this, and the interview was brought to us by CJ, of course, because it's CJ's relative, but here is another person, completely separate, third party, way out there. We have nothing to do with these people. And yet this person, again, another person who has had a pretty, like he said, shady experience with this, as you said, Tony, team leader, you know, of this team that we hold dear to our hearts. Just another example. And did we bring this person forward and make them lie about it? No.
No.
You know, I mean, they were having issues out there. It was out there in social circles all over the place before he even came to us.
Right.
Yeah,
so
it was all over the place when it happened.
Yeah, see, I don't pay close attention to Facebook, so I wasn't aware of that. So
I remember seeing it in a few spots, and I think some conversations about it got reposted over and over. It's amazing how the drama stands out way more than the good that paranormal groups do.
Sure. But you know what? You know, based on what you've said there, which I wasn't really aware of, I was only aware of one posting by CJ, and that was after he brought it to my attention, so it had been out there before, obviously, as you're saying. Obviously, the organization leader who is in control of things like, you know, mission statements and logo design and overall team presentation, she was so unflattered by her own actions and so ashamed of what she had done to this person that she's still using that logo to this very day, posing like it was a big deal. You know, this whole transaction, this is all good.
Yeah. So I also want to point out that this just kind of substantiates one of the things that we've been saying all along, which is that she tells one person one thing, she tells another person another thing, and she'll tell a third person a completely different thing. She'll tell them whatever suits her need, even though they might be completely opposite of what she told somebody else. So here she is. She had, you know, Chad create a logo for her, right? Tells them she's having financial issues because, first of all, she bought a house, and the house has all kinds of problems with it. Well, who knows if that's true or not? But she also said that she has all kinds of money tied up in these events that she's planning for her team members, and she's not getting money from her team members. And we had a person on the radio show the other night that was talking to us about giving her money to pay admission for these events, and then the events getting canceled and never getting their money back.
Asking for their money. Asking for their money back.
Yeah, asking for their money back, and her telling them, no, I have financial issues. I don't have the money right now. So she's telling one person one thing and telling another person another thing taking everybody's work and taking everybody's everything.
Me,
give me. I'm not giving you crap. Sorry.
Exactly. Tony, exactly. I mean, let's make it really clear. She's telling this guy to make her a logo, and she's going to pay him. Then on the side, she's taking people's money for events that do not happen. So she has finance, she has money in her hand, regardless of what she does with that money. And the event falls through, she's got the guy's logo, he's asking for his money, which is $100. She's not paying him because she's on financial hard times, and she told the people who gave her the money for the events that she's not paying them back because she doesn't have it because times are tough.
Right.
And the first question out of their mouth is, what do you mean times are tough? Don't you have the money in an envelope somewhere? Because the event was canceled. Shouldn't you just have that money? She spent it. It's gone.
Right.
They never got their money back. So she's stealing from people here. She's stealing this guy's logo and this work. And let's not make it out to be something that it's not. He does not have the means, and she knows this, to prosecute her to get his money because he's unemployed. And it's $100, and it would cost him more than $100 to get the money. So what does he do? He's got his arm twisted behind his back and says, well, at least give me credit for it. Oh, okay, well, that's a good deal then, yeah. I'll use it, and I'll give you credit for it. That's not a good deal. He doesn't find it a good deal. He wants to get paid for his work.
That's a good deal for her.
It's an excellent deal for her, and as you clearly stated, because we have been, you know, we have the situation where our logo was designed for us by our graphic designer, who is a very gifted graphic designer, and what do? Every chance we get.
We give him credit.
Everywhere.
Always. We talk
everywhere.
About who he is, what he does for us, how great he is at what he does.
Sure. And maybe she's giving him credit. I don't know. I've never seen it, but I also haven't looked. However, he made it clear. When you asked him, well, hopefully you got some referrals, not a single one. Not a single one. How many referrals has Josh gotten from us? I know he's gotten a bunch from you.
She's not even given any credit. What do you say? His name was mentioned under groups? His name should be written right underneath the logo. This logo was made by.
Exactly.
You know, that's giving credit. Okay. Mentioning your name in a group or something like that is not giving you credit.
No, and you know what he said? He said, it goes right back to posing, where she tries to make things look at more better than they are, more successful than they are, better than they are. She put him in a group that he wasn't sure what the group was, but he doesn't think that group even exists. And he's definitely not a part of the group that she put him in. So she tried to populate another area of New England to show everybody in New England just how successful they are. She put the graph. No one on the outside knows that he's the graphic designer. She uses his name and sticks him in a group that either doesn't exist or he's not a part of. see how successful we are? We've got two more people in this group, in this area, in this region of New England. And you heard him talking. He's like, she stuck me somewhere over here, which doesn't make any sense at all. And, you know, he's not associated at all with her group. So that's not giving credit. That's conning people. That's scamming people. She stole his logo and then used his name to scam people. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It never stops. Oh, I'm sure there's an explanation. She's got a great explanation for why this, you know, why she had to do it this way, why they agreed to do it this way. No one knows but her and him. No one will ever know. It was a conversation that they had, you know. Who knows? Who knows how she'll justify it? She always has a justification. But you heard what he said. He was never going to get paid, and it wasn't worth his effort. And there are people like that. There's a lot of people like that out there. And if there's one thing she depends on, it's people like that. They're just good people who are, you know what I mean?
You know, yep, Tony, absolutely. It's like when they make these logos, do they have to apply for a copyright design, or is it automatically a copyright design on their logos?
Well, there's a lot of, if he never got paid for the work, then it's work he created, so it's his copyright.
Yeah, it's his.
Because like your guys' logo, isn't that copyrighted?
Yep.
Yeah, that's ours.
So when they use that one, I mean, there should be some way, depending on how much money you want to spend, but some way for, you know, as far as legal actions can be taken.
Right, but he'd have to pay for the legal action, and she knows he can't afford it because he is unemployed.
Yeah.
These aren't mistakes. Have you noticed they just kind of like slide by, like, well, they could be interpreted this way. Almost every single person we've talked to is exactly that same thing. It's not like she's gone up to somebody and damaged their, you know, like stolen something and run off with it and it's on security camera and it's all legal and she's going to jail. No. It's all these kind of sneaky, devious kind of, you know what, that's really character-defining, unethical, immoral, sociopathic behavior. It's not right out there in your face, punch you in the head in front of a cop, you know, and get busted and go to jail. No, it's not that. It's, well, he's the type of person that would not and cannot prosecute me, so I guess we'll just have to work out a deal, huh? Because I'm not giving this back. Because she was using it. Go ahead.
And she's always doing these things where it's going to be their word against my word, and who's going to believe somebody over a crying woman in the courtroom if it ever gets that far?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we heard Jenny Stewart during her interview say she'll try anything. And remember how she was saying she was crying so hard on the phone,
yeah.
And Jenny was like, calm down. You need to calm down. You need to calm. And she just wouldn't stop. And Jenny knew she was lying the whole time. Knew she was lying and wanted to see how long she was going to go. And she said she never gave up. She would not ever stop.
Yeah.
That's just the way she is. She's just a victim all the time. I mean, so she's probably got people on her team believing that this logo deal was a really good deal. This guy, he went out of his way to donate this logo to us, you know, like Maine Ghost Hunters has a logo designer. You know, it's a good deal. He's a good member of the team. He gave up his time and his specialty. And, yeah, he's one of our team specialists. Yeah, that's what he does. You know what I mean?
It's amazing. It really is. I can't help but say it over and over again. It just astounds me.
I feel for Chad because you could kind of hear it. You just could kind of hear it. You can tell that he's kind of he has to be easygoing to be a graphic designer because you're working directly with people and with what people want. You can't possibly be, a person with hard edges and kind of a set way when you're a graphic designer because you're working with other people's concepts. You've got to have that mentality. If you don't have it naturally trying to push it, I don't think it's going to work. You know what I mean? So you have to have a certain type of mentality. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you're being creative for other people? I mean,
yeah.
You know, to see things there. I mean, you do that, Tony. You're creative for other people. It's what you do for a living.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you what they want, and you don't tell them what they're going to get. You make what they want until it's done. Well, same thing. So, I mean, he has to be able to work with people. And And that whole, you know, give and take, you know, and he would just flex and flex. He's not going to break himself on it. He's going to work out a deal and say, you know, I got screwed on that. And just walk away.
Yep.
And not only that, graphic designers, a lot of times, you know, you were talking about freelance work and stuff. I mean, what kind of reputation would he have if he did go after her, right?
Yeah, he wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. So he'd ruin his own reputation by looking like a jerk for going after some woman who's going to portray herself as you know, yeah, the victim.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is sour from the start to the very end. And, you know, if you listen to the first 5 minutes of the interview, he says, well, you know, so I just say, you know what, why don't you just give me credit? You know, and it made it sound at the beginning like he was all right with it. But, you know, you listen through and you realize that he was not okay with that deal. He was not
right.
Okay with it.
Yep.
You know? And that's what it comes down to, is she gave him her word that she would pay him for a design, and you made him say, you know, you asked him, that, you know, a question that made him say, no, she said she loved it. So she wasn't unhappy with it, you know?
Right. No, she was very happy with it, and even more happy probably, well, what a great deal she got on it.
I know, exactly. And you said it before, and I think you just said it earlier. Anyway, so I mean, the thought that goes through my head is what you said earlier, and it's been said before. The common theme is that she gives people the runaround until they just get exhausted from it, and they're like,
right,
this is not worth my time. And in the process,
yeah,
she's stealing from people either goods, services, money. People, you know, what people don't understand is, you know, like what you were saying earlier about that person that called us and was like, hey, man, I was supposed to go on an event and we didn't go and I never got my money back, and it's only $40, but I thought you'd want to know about it. And we're on the phone,
right,
and we're like, yeah, you know what, bud? You're $40. How many people were going? Well, you know, like 20
exactly.
or 30. Okay, it's like 20 or 30, $40 that never got returned. And she said she didn't have
right.
it. What do you
right.
think happened to it?
So if it's 10 people, that's $400. If it's 20 people, that's $800. And that's one event.
Right.
Imagine
and
if
they
you
said
does
it
once a month.
Right. This person said that it didn't happen to them again, but they know it has happened multiple times to people who are on the team that did sign up for other events. Again, this person said things got canceled all the time, and people didn't get their money back a few times. But that this person knows about that she did.
Right.
So, you know, it's that the common theme is they get the runarounds until they get exhausted and they figure, well, it's not worth my time. Okay. But you have to consider that you are among a large group of people that are getting taken. It's a scam. It's a total scam. And you're perpetuating it by being associated. What you're doing by still remaining a member, you're allowing her to scam not just you as an individual, but all these people around you. All these people around you, because there is that group mentality. I don't want to make it sound bad, but you know that sheep mentality. You know.
Yep.
There's a thing with. There's a thing they call the sheep mentality because, and you and I know this because we've gone sheep herding before. They call it the sheep mentality because sheep don't like to stand alone, and it's very difficult to get one sheep away from all the other sheep. So if one sheep, or you know, if a bunch of sheep see one sheep by itself, I mean that's weird, but all the sheep like to flock together, and that's why when you see all those, you know, those dog herding tournaments and things like that, when a dog separates the herd in half, that's a feat. But when the dog can go in there and get one sheep out, that dog deserves an award because the sheep like to stay together. So if you're getting ripped off, right? You're getting ripped off. You know you're getting ripped off. You know that you're not sure if you're going to get ripped off this time, but you're still going to give your money. People are going to look at you and say, well, you're giving your money, so I'm going to give my money. Oh, you got
right.
ripped off, so did I. But you trust again this time that you're not going to get ripped off? Okay, well, I'm going to give my money to you again. And then that happens again. And all these people behind that person are doing it. And then all these people behind those people are doing it. And no one's stopping to say, you know what? This is wrong. No one's stopping to say, well, this, you know what? The group leader found this really easy to do this time. I wonder why that is. Most people feel so guilty they can't sleep at night. Nope, this one down way too easy. Nope, they don't say it. They don't think it. They don't say it. They just keep doing it. So I mean, it's responsibility. You know what I mean? It's thinking out. You know, thinking for other people, and that's what we should be doing as a community. And you know, if there is community, but and the thing that he said at the beginning was that oh yeah, when you asked about her character, like how did he find her character? He thought she was calling it. Didn't seem sketchy. Seemed honest. To go on, great, right?
I did, yeah. He said that, and like you said, she comes across when you first meet her as very charismatic, very genuine, very caring person until you realize who she really is.
And that's how scammers scam. And I say this all the time. I haven't said it in a while on a radio show, but I'll say it now. I'll say it again. The best type of scammers, con artists, bad guys, are the ones that don't look it. They're not the old hags, you know, that need a bath, that need dental work, that need their hair done. You know, they're not toothless, you know, sneaky people sitting on the edge of a park bench just waiting to, you know, come up to you and pick your pocket. No, because you would never let that person beside you. The person you're going to let beside you and talk to you and tell your secrets to and trust is someone who you would never in a million years, you would never think this person could do that. Those are the people. Those are the people that get away with these scams. Because poor, poor, pitiful, I have to pay my bills. Oh, I'm sorry, I've been there before. Yeah, they know you have.
Uh-huh.
They know you've been there, yeah, because he was out of work. And that's what he said was, yeah, well, I've been on tough times too, but I feel you. Oh, yeah? She was depending on that. Because that's how she does it. So, let's see here. So he asked for payment multiple times, and he made sure to say, actually, you made sure to ask him if she enjoyed it, and she really did love it, and she used it right from the very beginning. Yeah, he never got any referrals from it, not a single one, which is sad. Really sad. And
he didn't even get proper recognition on a website, if you ask
no,
me.
No, that's
only referrals, you know.
That's exactly right, John. Because you know, where if you're going to someone's website and you like their logo, you shouldn't have to dig and dig and dig to find out like who the hell did this logo. You know, it should be right there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's even though he settled with her on that, you know, she still never lived up to that end of it, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You know, the name should be right there under the logo on every page, created by, designed by, you know, that's giving recognition, not just putting a name. And people probably don't even know why that name is on the website. Like you said earlier, they probably think he's a member. If some don't exist, you know.
Right, exactly. She put him that's what he was saying, is that she put him in the members section under a team, and he wasn't even sure what team that was because the only team that he knew about, he didn't think they were in that. They were listed in that team, and they weren't a part of that team anyway, so it wouldn't even have mattered.
Now, how are you supposed to recognize that name as a designer of the logo?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Exactly. So put him as a team member and say that he's representing this team in this area that he's not from. He doesn't even live near. And don't put anything about him being the graphic designer, the logo designer. It's whatever. You know, it's just another victim as far as I'm concerned. It's fraud to tell somebody that, you know, come over and, you know, fix my, you know, my outlet got burned out. Come over here and fix it and I'll pay you. Okay, I fixed it. Yeah, I'm a little low on cash. I'll pay you next month. Oh, I can't pay you this month either. I can't pay you this month. All right, I'll just tell people that you did it. I'll just tell people that you did it. Good job. That's fraud. It's total fraud.
Yeah, that's the services.
It is, that's the, and you know, she was using, he sent her the JPEG. She knows nothing, obviously, about scalable and non-scalable images. And he gave her the JPEG, and she started using it right away, obviously, because she's using it before it's being paid for, right? Because he said that she would, it was there. So she's using it. It's ridiculous. She had every intent of doing what she did, because she did it right away.
Yep.
She got what she wanted. Pay off. Now
yep.
All she needs to
Thank
do
you.
Is hold
See you
out.
Later.
Yeah, exactly. Now all she needs to do is hold out until he goes away.
Yep.
Just hold out until he goes away. Always she'd stop asking. Doesn't he get it by now? Because I know this person. Because I've had a lot of experience with this person. And I can guarantee you that's exactly her mentality. Is he not going to get it? When the heck is he going to get it? When's he going to go? Doesn't he get it by now? Doesn't he see what's going on? What, is he an idiot? It's the extreme opposite from what you see in person. I mean, it just is. It's so disturbing. And that's the, you know, a lot of people think, well, antisocial personality, sociopathic, that means that they, you know, they don't like people. They hate people. They, you know, they do things against people. You would be able to spot them a mile away. No, you wouldn't. They do these things with a smile on their face and a tone that makes you think that everything's going to be all right because they don't care about the consequences as those consequences pertain to you. They don't give a, she doesn't give a crap that he's out money and his services. She doesn't care. She's got her thing. Why doesn't he go away? What is his problem? I'm not going to pay him. I'm using this. Go away. It never occurs to her that she has offended him in a way that is so personal and financial that she should feel guilty about it. It's not that she doesn't. It's not that she knows and she doesn't. It's that it never occurs to her that taking other people's money and not paying them back or taking this logo and not paying for that logo is not okay, and that it actually brings damage to those people. It doesn't. She doesn't even think about that.
Or if
I mean,
she does, she doesn't care.
No, it's not that, Tony. It's that these people don't have a concept of actually thinking about other people. That's the antisocial personality disorder. That's the problem. It's not that she doesn't have guilt about it. It's that it never occurs to her that she should feel guilty about it. That's what makes her so good at this. So good at all these scams. Night after night, we're doing these podcasts. And it's all the same theme. It's not that she doesn't, that she learns and that she's hurt people. It never occurs to her that she should feel guilty. That's the problem. And people need to know that because she's going into people's houses with this, I'm a 14th generation psychic. I'm going to put you in contact with your dead son. Give me money. She's not psychic. It's another scam. And like we were saying last night, in last night's episode, no, paranormal is not an easy gig for people who are doing, you know, walking a moral path. But to those people who have another agenda, it's the easiest gig around because you can reinvent yourself to a crowd of people who will put you on a pedestal if you really sell yourself. You sell yourself as the greatest thing since sliced bread to people who don't know any better. You have an instant audience. I mean, there are people out there calling themselves paracelebrities. John, have you ever heard of them before?
Who is it?
Any one of these pair of celebrities. I mean, you probably heard of people like, you know, people on like Paranormal State, Ghost Hunters, and stuff like that. But all these other paranormal celebrities that you see on these posters for these paracons and stuff. I mean, do you ever look at those?
I've never heard of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
I'm
they're
like,
calling
who?
Themselves celebrities.
And
yeah,
they do,
and they're all. They, you know, the ones that I've seen tend to be, like, you know, people specific to that area, you know,
right.
Probably just, you know, a group down the street, you know, and they knew someone and got in there. And then they're going into these and lecturing like they know everything about what they're lecturing and what are their credentials. You don't know.
That's, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, how many investigations have they actually been on? How many times have they looked at evidence? How many times have they... Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
We know people who do, like we said, you know, in past episodes, where we know people who just thrive on that, you know, that whole thing that they've reinvented themselves. Because in real life, you know, it's like, you know, this other guy here, he's a dishwasher without a license. It doesn't match with this whole giant, you know, big paracelebrity that he's put himself out there to be. You know, like this well-accomplished, well-spoken individual. No. You know, with 2 years maybe of paranormal experience, not the I've been doing this since I was 10, you know, 30 years of experience. No. That stuff's not real. Paranormal, you know, posing is the easiest gig around. I don't know what makes people so willing to accept other people's stories. I don't know. Tony, do you have any insight on that whatsoever? It blows my mind. I don't know.
No, I don't get it. I really don't.
God, I mean, we know people who... That's their thing, is talking about paranormal investigations and how they should be done and how they're done right and how people are doing them wrong and how dare they, you know, do this with their evidence and post this as evidence and, you know, and all they do is talk. That's all they ever do. And people think that they are experts in the field of paranormal, but we know for a fact they do not investigate, right?
Yep.
In gab, in talking.
But that's the thing, John, is that people who are, like you said, people who aren't in their area, like say they do like a video, you know, podcast every week or something. People who are not generally from their area, who are from outside, probably think, I mean, why wouldn't they? But these people who are like the stars of their own show, they probably think these people are, you know, experts at what they're talking about, obviously. They have no idea that these people do not investigate. All they do is talk about investigating. All they do is talk about how things should be. But they have, I mean, you know, these people have probably gone on a couple of investigations, you know, public investigations with 30 other people or whatever, paid to go on an investigation. So, yeah, oh, my evidence this, my evidence that. But that's all they've ever done. No one on the outside knows the truth.
Well, usually someone who is an expert in the field, you'll never hear them say, "I'm an expert," you know.
Yep.
They don't pronounce that. It's the people who are trying to imitate it that are pronouncing themselves, trying to make people believe they're an expert when they're not.
Because if you're actually out there doing it, you don't have all that much time to promote yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you did. If you're out there doing it, you don't have time to be on Facebook like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because you're too busy working, you know, your passion. You're not just talking about your passion, actually out there doing your passion.
Even when you're on the radio, you're working.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, the messages that we're giving out about paranormal fraud, I mean, we're doing our homework. I mean, as disgusting as this is, it's totally disgusting. I hate it. I hate talking about it. I hate even worse, exponentially worse, that it is a reality in New England right now. And it wasn't until this person moved to New England.
That's right. We were involved in paranormal in New England for a while before that, so.
So I am so proud to be a resident of Maine. If you bring your crap into Maine and I know about it, it's a problem. But if you bring it into my team because you think I'm an idiot, well, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to make sure everybody knows about you. And I think that that's what's going on, is that I am making sure that everybody knows. I mean, you, me, John, everybody on our team, we do not back down from this. This is a big problem. If you're going to be out there doing these fraudulent scammer con artist things, Maine Ghost Hunters is not going to stand. We are not going to back up and say, well, I'm glad it's not happening to us anymore. Why? Because it happened to us and someone out there knew that it was happening to us, and they didn't step forward and say anything about it.
That's right.
Well, not only that, it still affects us no matter what. Even if they're not doing it directly to us, it affects the field we're in. It affects what clients might think about all paranormal investigators or all teams. So, yeah, it's affecting everybody, no matter, I don't care where you're at, you know, even out in California, it's still, the negative word goes across the internet, and it goes everywhere, all around the world. And when people hear that there's people out there being fraudulent, we all get thrown into a big, wide group. It's not, you know, taken as this one group is. It's like, oh, geez, all these people in paranormal groups are taking people for rides and lying and faking evidence. You know, it affects all of us. But, yeah, when it's in your hometown, it really, really ticks you off.
Yeah, it does. When it's in your group and it's corrupting your group members, I mean, and now they're leading. And the person that was, you know, that our guest from yesterday was talking about, they're leading a group. And it's like that crap is going to trickle down. Hopefully the smart people like that, the person that we interviewed yesterday was like, this is just bogus. I need to get out of here. But then there are people that are like not going to leave. You know what I mean? And they'll just buy right into it. And it's like, you're perpetuating an issue that you don't think is an issue. It's a major issue. And now we have, like, you know, this thing that's growing, this problem that's just going to spawn and corrupt just cause destruction everywhere, I guess is what I'm saying. I mean, not to be too passionate about it, but that's what it's just going to, you know, it's going to get into the nooks and crannies of all, you know, some of the people that don't know any better, like we talked about last night. You know, people don't know any better, and they get this model laid out before them, and they're just like, they accept it, you know? And that's like the worst possible thing that could happen.
Well, people are too forgiving, you know, and you got people make mistakes, but when the mistakes are continued and constant throughout their whole life, you know, that's, you can't accept that. And
yeah, it's not a mistake.
The problem
anymore is
people give everybody the benefit of the doubt, even though, you know, because they don't really know her. You know, and they might hear this one, you know, one of our podcasts and, yeah, okay, but I don't know her. She's never done anything to me. And that mentality makes it just as bad, because eventually it might be you who are the victim, you know. And when you don't look into things, I mean, she's got so many teams across America and out of America. I mean, how do they meet all these people? And like you said, where do they find the time to meet all these people? I sure don't have that kind of time. I wish I did. It'd be nice, but, you know, there's too many other things that are important to me than going around and becoming famous and trying to build up all these groups and teams to show, hey, look at me, I'm number one. My mindset is I could care less about that. I'm more interested in doing what I'm doing, trying to find answers. But
all right,
someone like her, you know, or these groups, I mean, from all around the world joining that team, how do you even check up on all of that? You know, the check up on every team she's got listed would take you, that's a lifetime experiment right there, just to check up on all of that.
You're exactly right on that one. And like we've already determined, it's like, who the heck who's going to do that? Most people, they don't do that. You know what? I have enough, literally, we have so much going on, you know, as the leaders of this organization, to mingle our organization with another organization and to feel responsible, you know, the responsibility of having to check up on that organization before we mingle with that organization. I mean, like, I don't have time to do that. Tony, do you?
No, I don't. No.
People just don't have the time to do that. And I think rightfully so. We shouldn't have to have the desire to do that either. But you can't have that lack of desire to do that while also having that mentality that, you know, that passive mentality. I mean, we all have to be responsible for ourselves and for what we know about. And, you know, at the very end of your conversation with CJ, Tony, you were talking about, you know, questioning and disagreeing and bringing out certain unpleasantries. And then not just risking, but actually facing these, you know, being called bullies and, you know, being told that you're not paranormal unity. I mean, you know, all these really kind of not good things, not good titles, not, you know, being set in this not good light. Well, when I tell you that we let go of a person, not because we didn't get along, we let go of a person because they're using multiple false fake names. You know, they've got a criminal history longer than I am tall. They've got an open warrant for their arrest in another state. I mean, I'm telling you facts that you should probably listen to. I'm not telling you that,
right.
Oh, I didn't like that person. She slept with my boyfriend. Like, that's totally different. I'm letting go of this person because they came to the investigation drunk. Well, that's a personal issue. You know what? You just let them go and let it go. You don't spread that
right.
stuff around.
Right. It's not, these are not insignificant things that we are telling people about. These are not insignificant things that we are trying to get people to pay attention to. These are potential issues that could cause problems long after this person goes in and out of somebody's house.
Yeah, I know. And the information that I learned, which I don't want to talk about right now, so I'm going to talk about it later after I do more research on it, but... we're talking about life-altering. I mean, let's just talk for 1 second that she bankrupted the first victim that's, like, the major victim. I mean, there were victims before and there were victims after, but the first major victim, she completely bankrupted this woman that took her into her home because this team leader was homeless. And this team leader... We paid her by bankrupting her, by stealing from her to the point where this woman lost everything. And this was years ago, and when we made that public in the podcast, this team leader used an alternate identity, which she thought I didn't know about, and I did, and used that alternate identity. And this was just within the last year. Went onto our main Ghost Hunters page and blamed her victim and called her victim a liar because she thought no one knew who she was. And I called her out and said, I know that identity is fake because I have the actual Facebook user identification number. And when I look at your name, that number comes up. This is one of your older accounts. And she disappeared.
Yep.
So when she thinks that you don't know about who she is, or she thinks that you don't know about her past, she's going to tell you exactly how she feels. And she went on there and blamed her victim. That is who she is. And people don't know that. Because who's going to do that type of research? I am. Why? Because that's the impact that she made on my life. And she's doing this to people all over the place. And it needs to stop because she's victimizing people while using paranormal to do it. And I really, you know, it's like you said, John, no one cares until it happens to them.
Right, yeah, you know, they just shrug it off, you know. She hasn't done anything to me. And
right.
Next thing you know, you're in that same boat.
Exactly right. And that mentality, I mean, that's not just a paranormal community mentality. No, that's just mentality of, like, that's just what, you know, we were raised, you know, it has to be a social mindset. Well, they didn't do it to me, so, well, you know, you want to see your neighbor go homeless? Do you want to see your aunt go homeless? Do you want to see your grandmother go homeless? I mean, do you care about anybody but yourself? You know, you help this person do that. Do you have any sense of responsibility whatsoever? I mean, is it weird that every member of Maine Ghost Hunters has this sense of responsibility and these other teams? Well, there are plenty of teams out there who do and who get it because we've been in contact. So, you know, I don't want it to seem like we're the only ones. We are not the only ones. But I'm talking about the ones that they know and they're still associated. I mean, is it – I don't – I think about it. I'm like, what are these people missing in their lives that this is so, that this paranormal, which gives you nothing. Tony, what does paranormal give us?
A lot of headaches. It doesn't give us any kind of, there's no reward to it. I mean, there's a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of disappointment. I mean, we spend a lot of time doing a lot of work and get very little out of it as far as any kind of reward or, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's
financially,
for people
like
who are
life-sucking,
yeah,
right?
For people who are seriously into the true aspect of paranormal, there's not a lot of gain from it.
No, there isn't. I mean, you know, our son is older, and you know he's not in school anymore. We have more time for our hobby. You know, I mean, this is what we do for us. You know, we spend a lot of time doing it, but when it comes to reward, I'm going to tell you, what you put out in paranormal is a whole lot more than what you get back. So these people, you know, with their attachment to, you know, whatever this organization is that she created, I don't know what they think they're getting from it. I don't know. I would love to know.
We put out so much work. It is unbelievable. And it's funny you mention that because I was working on one of my blogs about our meetup group, and I sat down just to figure it out last year, and this is just the meetups that we do with the communities where we take them out to let them see what it is we're doing. We traveled over 2,300 miles just in the 11 meetups we did. That don't include the time on our investigations and, you know, that's just what we did with the public on meetups, not including presentations we did and other things that we do with the public. And for me, I'd say one of the rewards, one of the biggest rewards, is getting to deal with the public who's interested in it and showing them what we do and letting them get a taste of it to see what it's really like. For me, that's a big reward. When it comes to the investigation, you're right on. It's you say disappointment, but it's a lot of getting nothing for what we put in, but it's still not really a disappointment, you know, for me, because it's a passion.
Right.
For someone like her, she could care less. I almost think they could probably care less if they actually find anything. As long as people notice them, they don't care. As long as she's on the front page and being talked about, they don't care. It's not a passion for them. It's so amazing.
I'm like, I could just sit here and listen to you talk. I mean, every time you talk, I'm like, I can't. We're all on the same page. That's why I asked the question. I mean, what are these people missing? We can't be weird. We can't be like the one weird group that has this moral fiber. And like I said, we're not. There are other groups out there. But I'm just like, what did these people not get growing up? What did they miss? What are they missing now that the attachment to this paranormal or this organization or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that why are they not on this page? I ask that question all the time. If I'm not saying it and you're saying it, then obviously we share the same type of, you know, moral compass, right?
And I think a lot of it has to do with the people that are like us have that same passion, and they're more interested in following that passion than going out and talking about these other groups. You know, it's the people that you're seeing out and about all the time are the ones that are the glory hounds. They're not in it for the same reason. You know, they don't have that same passion we do. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but usually the ones that you're seeing out there about talking and winning awards, and I mean, these awards, where do they come from? Who decides who wins? I mean, let's make up an award so I can get one, and nobody knows where it comes from.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
people that have the passion like us, but they're quiet. You don't hear from them. And that's because,
yeah,
like you said, they're busy following that passion, doing what they need to do. It's
right.
Very time-consuming. We've made it a point to stop and take the time. And I mean, we had to literally stop and take the time to put
exactly.
out this information because it's a safety issue and we want to make sure it doesn't happen to other people.
Right. And, you know, John, the reason why it's so close to Maine Ghost Hunters is because it happened to Maine Ghost Hunters. So I would really understand, you know, if some team in Connecticut that's never had this experience with her or anyone else, I totally get why they would not be, you know, stopping and, you know, focusing on issues like paranormal fraud. Because until it happens to you, you don't really understand. I mean, you can understand it conceptually, but you can't really understand the damage it does until you've actually lived through it. And then you're like, holy crap, this cannot happen to anyone else because, you know, thank God for Tony and his keen sense of, you know, and just persistence, because if he wasn't persistent, the damage that could have been done is, in my mind, I see no end. I don't know where it would have ended. I mean, I have no idea where it would have ended. That was the path that was laid out. And unless you've been in that situation, I would never expect that you would have a passion like we have for getting this message out. And Tony, would you say that our experience with this person was so significant that it is an imperative that people know that this is out there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's why we do this, because we know what happened to us when we went through this, and we do not want this to happen to other people when they go through this.
Yeah, and you can hate
the
messenger.
We don't want them to have to go through this.
Right. And they can hate the messenger all they want. I just do not care. The message is going to be sent, and I will be the messenger, and you guys are right there. Tony's right there. You know, John, thank God, you're right there. We're all right there together because we know how important it is. I will stand in front, and I will holler the questions. I don't care if they want to hear it. I don't care. It's got to be said. It's got to be put out there.
That's another thing. You know, you put out this message, and, you know, I bet there's more people listening than you think, because usually, again, you only hear from the people who want to have the drama, to want to fight about something. The ones that are really listening to you probably say, okay, good. We're going to start checking who we deal with more, and hopefully, and I wouldn't doubt it, if you have gotten other groups that have heard you, and you'll never hear from them, because you only hear from the, just like negative stuff on Facebook travels quicker, but you never hear the good stuff. You know, it doesn't go anywhere. Same thing with our show. I'm sure there's people that have heard it, that have learned something from it, and taken your advice. You just don't hear about it.
You're right. Our downloads per month of these fraud radio shows are, what's the word I'm looking for, Tony? I mean, there's a reason why we keep doing these.
Yeah, I mean, they are the most popular shows that we produce.
It's the numbers are, they're, yeah, we'll have to sit down and look at them sometime. They're pretty impressive. Hold on, wait. Tony, how much time do we have left?
We have a little over a minute.
I just want to say thanks to all our listeners.
Yeah, just thank you to all of our listeners. If you have not listened to some of our older radio shows, check out our website, www.mainghosthunters.org. You'll find them all on there and links to them, as well as on iTunes. And we hope that you have enjoyed this presentation. We hope that you have a chance to review our other paranormal fraud episodes. And we hope you join us for our future episodes. So thank you, John, for joining in on the conversation. Always some good insights. And we hope that we actually have another one tomorrow night, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're low risk thought.
Yeah. All right. So.
Sadly, we're thought.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.